Yo, what's up, homies? This is Jake Belcher, and you're listening to RadioTitans.com.
Hi, this is Brant Thoman, and you're listening to RadioTitans.com.
Hey, this is Joey Blaney. You're listening to RadioTitans.com.
This is Adam Grotman, and you're listening to RadioTitans.com.
This is Bill Dwyer. You're listening to RadioTitans.com.
Hey, I'm Dean Richards.
And I'm Jacob Bunny.
And you're listening to RadioTitans.com.
Rachel Butera here. You're listening to RadioTitans.com.
Welcome to Cat Show.
I'm Dean Richards.
And I'm Jacob Bunny.
We are in Hollywood today in our new studio with the gentleman who made this all possible, Jake Belcher.
Hey, everybody.
How are you doing today, Jake?
Man, I am excellent. On antibiotics with strep throat, trying to get over this whole summer heat, but feeling good, you know?
Yeah, for sure. At least it's not penicillin, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, A, for giving us this opportunity to bring our show to your network. We really appreciate that, and we're looking forward to doing some awesome stuff with you guys.
Super glad to have you.
And you perform stand-up as well.
That's true.
And you started out here in L.A.?
I did.
Where did you start at?
Man, I was really lucky. So I've been doing the show for 4 years, and I just had tons and tons of comedians on, and then eventually they're like, hey, why don't you come out and do my show? Come out and do my show. And I'd never done stand-up. I'm like, oh, you know, I can't do it. I've never tried, never done it, never tried. But it's always been something I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I've been lucky. I haven't played any, I guess, smaller rooms. I mean, I do the Ice House, Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store, the Improv, West Side Comedy Theater. I've never done an open mic or any of those other things. I've just always lucked into some incredibly good rooms.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's crazy. Cool. We've done the Ice House before. We did a Sunday night show over there recently.
One of my very favorite places.
It's a nice room. I like the stage. It seems like a pretty comfortable room and a pretty warm room most of the time.
Yeah, it's cool. When I got to do my show, right before I went on, Marc Maron went, and, you know, being podcasters, it was like watching your idol get up there. And so it was like a really cool experience. I got to watch like the last 15 minutes of a set, and like this moth started like flying out in the middle, and like you could see it was like perfectly lit, and he just like swung out and like caught it, but no one was
Miyagi style.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody was positive he caught it, and he just held it in his hand for like a minute, finished his joke, and then he was like, and like it was like this majestic everyone got up and started.
I wasn't lucky enough to be there for that one. That was we did separate shows over at Ice House. That was the week before I got to see Rob Schneider perform. That was
stand-up?
Yeah.
How is he as a stand-up?
Yeah. He did a routine about Whole Foods being expensive.
Wow, that's groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking material. Groundbreaking.
I saw someone this weekend that I'd never seen a stand-up before, Tom Green.
Oh, yeah. He, right before I moved out here, like, there's a lot of random people that have been coming through Cleveland at this club, and it was like Screech and Tom Green, and there was another weird one. I didn't even know he did comedy, but this guy from the Boondock Saints, he's a stand-up comedian. I don't remember his name off the top of his...
The old guy.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly.
Yeah,
he's been around for a while. He's done stand-up for a while.
He's funny. I've seen him. Like, he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I can't imagine the Screech was any good.
No.
Did he talk about his sex tape?
Yeah.
Because that's the best thing about him.
Yeah. You kind of have to talk about it at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if you've only got, like, I guess one talent, sort of.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know me from my work in Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's the best celebrity sex tape ever made.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's pretty funny that when that happened, I couldn't believe that it happened. I was like, who would actually have sex with him?
And those girls were hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
I was really surprised.
Yeah, I guess it's like, that's what happens. That's
money,
word, fame, money,
money. Yeah.
That's what happens when you're paying.
I want some money.
If only he would have paid Lisa, you know, during the show, he maybe got her to go on a date with him.
I may never have made it out of opening up a studio if that tape existed. the whole Screech tape is interesting because you get to see how a celebrity is really treated, and even like a minor celebrity like that, you get to see they kind of get to do whatever they want.
Oh yeah,
it makes you think back to like Prince Harry's whole thing. Last week with the naked pictures and stuff, and how like that dude's a good looking dude. He's rich. He's from like the best family in the world. And he gets, for Screech to be treated the way that he was treated, I can't even imagine the temptations that are laid out in front of that
guy.
Oh,
yeah.
And Harry, he's in Vegas. And, shit gets wild.
Like, every day for him is like a backstage at, like, a Led Zeppelin concert.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like, the craziest story I ever have from Vegas is I went one time, and a buddy of mine got really drunk, and he got us kicked out of a club. And
then you did it right. That's good.
Yeah, so, but it was only, like maybe an hour into the night. It wasn't really that much. Like, we just got fucked. He was just hammered, and he fell asleep in the club. And they were like, hey, you can't do that. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. And then he just went about his shit and then fell asleep again. And that happened a third time. And it was the third time they just pretty much, they were like, you got to go. He goes, hey, no, it's cool. I'm with all my friends. And he pointed us all out. So we all got kicked out with him.
Wow, what a drag. Just go down by yourself, you know. Like, go sleep in the car, buddy.
On, dude. Yeah, like, go sleep it off. Come on.
He's definitely not some guy you want in your Breaking Bad scenario.
Oh, no, not at all. But he ended up going to the, we got him out of there. And we were at the Mirage. And he's like, Dean, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm like, well, go to the bathroom then. And he's like, I'm gonna throw up. And he tried to throw up right on the casino, like in the one of the trash cans.
Oh,
on the casino
floor.
They're like, you go do that. They like security went up to him like, you can't throw up here. He goes, it's a trash can. He goes, I don't give a shit. There's a bathroom right over there. And he went in there and he was gone for like an hour. He was inside. He was in the bathroom for an hour, and everybody's like, what the fuck's going on? And he finally like called me. He goes, Dean, I need some help, man. I was like, what? Oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not helping you. I'm not going to... It's like he was my dad. That's what was going through my head. It's like, he's an old guy. I'm going to have to wipe him. This is going to be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
He got in there. I got in there. And I'm like, Justin, he didn't answer. And I look under the stalls just to see where he would be. There were no feet. And I'm like, God damn it. And then I heard his phone fall. I was like, oh, okay, you're just being a dick now, okay. I get him out of there, and we're driving. We finally get back to our car, and we're driving down Vegas Boulevard, and he's just yelling shit out the window at people on the streets, like, did you fuck my mom? Mm-hmm. Did you fuck my mom? And, like, no one fucked your mom, Justin. You're adopted. And, he's not. But and then he didn't wake up until, like, 3 the next day, and... We had another friend who was leaving that day anyway, so
he did Vegas all wrong. It sounds like
he did because we kicked him out. Like, we were there for the whole weekend for a buddy's birthday. He got drunk the first night, fucked us over, got us kicked out of the club and stuff. So our friend was leaving the next day anyway, so we pretty much forced him to go home with that guy. And he's like, "No, I'm cool. I want to stay." And everyone was just like, "No one talked to him. We gave him the silent treatment. He knew he fucked up."
Yeah.
But that was. I like Vegas though. Have you been?
Yeah, I've been to Vegas a lot. Okay, the worst time I ever had in Vegas was also the best time I ever had in Vegas. I went out. So for a while, I thought, I want to follow the Grateful Dead on tour. Like, okay. I want to go and like live that lifestyle, be like the hippie guy who trades for everything. And the first stop was down in San Diego, and it was pretty cool. At that point, I still had a lot of things from home, and I hadn't given everything up yet. And by about the fourth stop, we were out in Lake Mead because they were playing in Vegas. And I just started realizing how filthy these fucking people were. It was just like the most disgusting tricking of like tourists all the time and trying to get everything for free. And so everything was cool when we're out there on the lake, but when we decided to make the trip to the Strip, and you know, you don't notice when people smell out by the lake. It's fresh, it's nature, and everything's fine. But when you start walking into the MGM Grand, and you realize just the funk that's coming off of all of us,
because
once you're there for a couple of weeks, you're the same as the rest of them.
You're a local.
Yeah, it was not the right way to go to Vegas. With everybody looking at you like, get the fuck out of here, bum.
Yeah. You ever? There's a great Italian restaurant behind the Flamingo called Philippe's Hole in the Wall, is it that? Batista's Hole in the Wall. Sorry, Batista's Hole in the Wall. It's this great little Italian place behind the Flamingo. They have an old guy, maybe I don't know if he died, who played accordion. He'd come up to your table and play accordion at your table.
Oh, that's cool.
And stuff, and you know, you just throw him a few extra bucks.
So it's weird. The guy's got like a Hispanic name. He comes up and he starts playing poker for you at an Italian restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
This guy's very eclectic.
Yeah, you just throw him a couple extra bucks and like he'll never come back to your table.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm like it's a nice little touch. If you have it like through the loudspeakers, maybe. But to come into your table and just standing there and playing accordion, no thank you.
You better be Weird Al. You better be Judy Tenuta. Otherwise, like, get the hell away from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's really good fucking Italian food.
So I do have a question. Back to the whole the hippie thing.
Yeah.
How exactly would you barter for medical services?
Well, good luck on that one. I mean, first of all, like, just about none of those people believe in real medicine. Like that's just for the squares and for all the nerds. Yeah. And you're like, but you're bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
Can we just wrap a bandage? Like, yeah, man, it's like tie dye. You just make it.
Those doctors, all those prescriptions are, it's reptilian propaganda.
Yeah. All they want is, do you have any acid? I don't have any acid.
Oh man, I'm just so depressed. I just want some acid.
Yeah, that is the big dealio.
Just take some fucking pills, dude.
Yeah, the micro dot. It's always a good time.
Indeed.
I've not done acid yet, actually.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Not to sound surprised. I don't know you that well.
No, it's cool. I want to. I just haven't yet. I haven't been able to get a hold of it.
But, okay, so what is your list of all the drugs you have done?
It's a very short list. It's pot. And which I don't really even consider a drug, but and coke.
Neither do I.
I've done coke, and yeah, that's my list.
And you're Jake?
I've done ecstasy, shrooms, acid, marijuana, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I want to do DMT. That's the last one that's on my list is DMT. I've done all.
I'm
the ones
slowly warming up to it.
Yeah, we watched the movie Enter the Void. Have you ever seen that?
Have not seen it, heard about it yet.
Yeah, he had just started smoking, and we watched it, and he like freaked out because it's like this person like dies, and there's like this like kind of like weird out of body experience, mm-hmm. and it's all because it's in like Buddhist philosophy, so it's kind of like it's just real weird. It's about like the cycle of this guy's life, and it's just like really like kind of down and depressing and like
and intense,
and he just like he started geeking hardcore.
Oh yeah, I walked out of the room. I just went into my room. I was like, I'll just watch.
Why do you think it got you so bad?
I have, especially at the time, I don't deal with death too well. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of death, mm-hmm. and so it's like I said, it's actually a very intense scene because what happens is the story at that point is told through a first person perspective to the point where the camera's actually blinking, and
that's interesting.
The guy dies through first person, and it very slowly starts fading in. And in, and then like all this stuff, and it's his inner monologue.
Yeah,
you hear that, he's like, "Oh my god, am I dying?" Like, and like his like all of his thoughts about it when he's dying, it freaked me the fuck out. And it was also just it was basically a first edible that I was doing, and so it hit me differently than what I was used to with smoking. Mm-hmm. So it was just a combination. I still have not finished the movie. It's been like a year or so. I still haven't finished that movie, but I will. I will eventually.
The first hour and a half of it's really good. Then it just kind of gets a little, just goes over and over.
Hey, if you don't like it, why force yourself to see it though?
Well, it's not that I didn't like it. It was that I got
he geeked out.
It was just I probably, if I watch it when I'm not stoned, or even if I am, I'm more experienced now than mm-hmm. I was. I'll probably handle it a lot better.
How long ago did you first start smoking?
It wasn't until early last year.
Well, that's not too long.
No, not at all. Like I'm from, we're both from Ohio, Jake and I, and you know, he's more in like the kind of suburby area. I'm more in like the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So like I didn't know people who smoked marijuana growing up. I didn't know anybody who did. Like drinking was the thing that where we were. That was the thing. I get drunk all day, whatever. But like drugs, that was just unheard of. No one did that shit around there, so it was I had no opportunity to try it at any point. And I tried it once when I was in college in Orlando. I took a giant bong rip, and I was like, I'm not going to do this ever again. And then I got out here, and with those same guys that I got high with the first time,
mm-hmm.
I'd been around them all the time. They smoked a lot. Finally broke down. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll try it. Like I got, you know, you live once. And I was like, yeah. And then now I smoke way too much.
So you've taken to it, eh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you go out and get the card?
I got the card, yeah.
Okay, what ailment did you find?
Technically, I didn't lie on mine. I have high blood pressure.
Well, I did not know it helped for that.
Yeah, high blood pressure, anxiety issues.
He gets stressed pretty easy.
Really angry very easily, mostly at myself, though. It's usually at myself. Like, parallel parking, I suck at it. I will just start yelling at myself and calling myself a disgrace to my family because I can't parallel park. I just get really angry and frustrated. And then I play a lot of video games as well. And
I can tell by the hat you're wearing, the one-up mushroom hat from Mario.
We saw a skateboarder on the way here who had the same hat on, but his was more ironic, I think. Mine is because I actually still have a Super Nintendo and I still play Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
But I was I play Arkham City and I get really upset at Batman, like he's an actual person.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you mother deserve to be gunned down in the streets, you piece of shit.
Wow.
Like, I just get really angry. My roommate comes in, he's like, dude, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. The Joker's just being a douchebag.
Wow.
Yeah, so pot usually it kind of keeps me back in the green.
And it does kind of get you into the game more, at least for me.
It really does, especially with like Batman. Like, I've beaten that game twice, like three times all the way through, but I still play it because, like, when I'm stoned, it's because you're a detective and you get to go around and do whatever the fuck you want in Arkham. And I'm like, yeah, I'm stoned, I'm flying around as Batman, this is the shit.
I've noticed that's awesome. that sometimes, like, you like, it really helps you get into the zone, like, especially with a video game. Like, my friends used to play Halo back when that was awesome.
That's my joint.
I'm a big Halo fan.
And they would demolish me. And so, like, I ended up getting pretty good playing against other people, but they were just, like, experts at it. And eventually there's this one time that we all just sat around and smoked. They weren't, like, quite as experienced or as regular as I was at the time. And I just got into the zone where there was four of us playing, but I was up on everybody, like, 10-0. Like, I somehow was killing everybody before they could kill anybody else. And that's like the highlight of my video game career.
Watching him play video games is really funny. I get frustrated. He gets frustrated too. But it's just, he'll sit there. You just see him trying to, like, figure out what button's the right one to hit and stuff. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I always somehow manage to, like, hit the wrong button, and then that becomes my habit. Like, I'll get it, and then I'll hit the wrong button.
At least you know you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That does. Wait, which one's the RB button again?
Yeah. I had a stepdad who, he used to play Madden, and he, you know, getting used to the, you know, going from not playing any video games to, you know, something with, like, 12 buttons on it. He's like, oh, I did hit the wrong button. It's like, no, you didn't. You just threw it out of bounds again. It's like, it's the same button you hit all the time on accident. It's like you clearly hit the wrong button.
Just don't tell him and then play him for money.
Yeah, exactly. What's your favorite Halo game?
Oh, man. I like to stay up to date as much as possible. Yeah. But I got stuck on Halo 2 probably the most. I mean, if I played, that's probably what I played, like, the absolute most of. And being able to play on Xbox Live is amazing. Yeah. I guess 12-year-old kids in Australia or something, and hearing their moms, like, tell them to come go to bed, like, go to bed, like, fuck you, mom, I'm not gonna do that. Like, oh, listen to your mom, son.
Yeah, it's hilarious, the people you find on Xbox Live at, like, random times. Dane Cook was on one time. I was playing Modern Warfare 3 with Dane Cook, and it was at first I didn't know if it was him because it said his handle was Dane Cook in all caps. And I'm like, well, it could be him. Could be. I mean, let's find out. And, like, everybody was like, hey, Dane. He didn't say anything. But then they started making fun of Jessica Simpson. And he's just like, hey, that's my fucking friend. Awesome. Shut the fuck up. Don't say another fucking word. I will beat the shit out of you.
I didn't see that time, but there was another time he played and he was on. And he was actually just kind of doing the regular thing. He was actually talking.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's like, oh, that's his voice. Like, it's clearly him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as he started talking, I was like, oh, shit, that actually is Dane Cook. And so it felt good to shoot him a few times.
Yeah.
I ran into Brian Posehn on Halo once.
Oh, yeah?
Height of the Beast is his
nice.
Yeah, he even talks about that on one of his specials. Oh, like, really? He mentions his handle, or maybe it was a Conan interview. It was one of the two. I remember him talking about that.
Yeah, he's a big video game comic book guy.
Yeah, good dude. Been on the show. Awesome guy.
Oh, yeah. He seems like a really nice guy. I just watched the Comedians of Comedy movie.
Very funny.
And, you know, all that shit was fucking hilarious. Galifianakis. When Galifianakis was, like, workshopping the businessman who farts into the phone character.
Yeah.
how does his mind work? I really want to know.
He does have some different level of genius.
He works on a completely different level.
Yeah.
It I don't know what it is, but he...
There's a couple comedians like
always,
that.
Always just amazing. You never know where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never know, because in the Comedians of Comedy thing, like he was doing his bit, but then his hat fell off the stool, and he just started yelling at the hat. And like, you don't do that again!
Yeah.
And it's funny as hell, and it was just in the moment, and he's just going off into left field.
There's about a dozen videos of him taking care of hecklers at his shows.
Oh yeah,
those are the best.
Those are the best videos. Though I've seen a couple of those. He's really good at dealing with hecklers. I love that.
He puts so much spotlight on that they just feel like shit.
Someone just posted a video. I think it's making its way around Facebook, but. This comedian's making fun of like Asian people, and like there's an Asian couple right in front, and he's like directly making fun of them, and he's got these like glasses on that you know when Aaron Rice does his character, his
yeah,
Asian
yeah.
character.
This is a friend of ours
who's half Korean, I believe, but he it was like the same like those thick glasses that make his eyes look
Coke
Asian.
Bottles,
yeah, and then like the fake teeth. And he's making fun of like these Asian people right there, and the guy got up and hit the comic.
Wow.
Yeah, it just like stormed the stage, like full on like tackled him. Like hit him, then tackled him. I don't know, like some people were saying it's staged or it was just like a huge publicity stunt. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's how I would like to deal with hecklers. Just punch them.
I've never been heckled.
Oh yeah,
it's fun.
It's fun if you get the right kind of heckler. We do open mics at like a lot of bar shows, and there's one like last night. I was at it's at the Barrel in Sherman Oaks. And it's at a bar. It's this rowdy dive bar. And this guy came in last night and threatened to like fight and kill everybody in the bar.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was just this homeless guy who was looking for money. And the bartender, who's this young woman, was like, you need to leave. And he goes, fuck you, bitch. And everyone was like, this guy, there was a comedian on the stage at the time. And like he's talking over all that. He's like, fuck you, fuck all of you. I'm gonna fucking kill all of you assholes. And then he's like, he walked in front of the stage and was like, who wants to go right now? And then he just like six comics just stood up and started walking towards him, and he just left.
Yeah. Probably a good choice.
Yeah.
You know, I might be able to take on one comic, maybe two, but six yeah, against
six,
one.
Six against one, yeah. No matter who it is, yeah. Even yeah. if it is just a bunch of comics. It
could be children.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Six yeah. against one, that's a really, really...
I mean, like, unless it's like Andre the Giant and midgets, it's, yeah, you know, yeah, like, it's yeah. still not going to... It's probably not going to work out in your favor.
Group fighting. I always think of Andre the Giant, too. Now, is that because of Princess Bride?
Well, there's that, and there were actually... The WWF did do a few matches, like, when he... Like when he first started, like instead of giving him the normal jobber, mm-hmm. they brought up midgets so he could, you know, like lift, like he'd have, they'd be crawling all over him, and he'd just kind of do like the King Kong thing. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's like, okay, who are we going to put on with a guy who's 7 feet, 500 pounds. Oh, we'll put someone who weighs 45 pounds and is 2 feet tall. It's like, oh,
it does look hilarious against each other. There's no
yeah.
doubt.
Oh yeah,
it's yeah, because they're like, oh, how can we top twins? That's what they're thinking. How mm-hmm. can we top Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger? We just get a taller guy and a shorter guy.
Boy, I got so many things I want to talk about here. One, triplets. What do you guys think with Eddie Murphy?
I don't know. Have you heard about that?
I heard about it. That, yeah, I think that's hilarious. I
don't know. Eddie Murphy, man.
You know.
Like, I didn't see Dreamgirls, but I heard, you know, like, it was his comeback or whatever.
But that's a serious role.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, like, all of his comedies and stuff, I haven't...
They've been
like,
garbage.
Absolute garbage.
I actually went out to see Tower Heist.
Oh, yeah?
Because I like Ben Stiller.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm watching Eddie Murphy just make an ass of himself. He's not even funny anymore.
No.
It's like he's not even trying.
Dude, we watched Raw recently, and it was hard to even watch Raw anymore.
Knowing what he's become, yeah,
it's like he used to be like he saved SNL basically.
He kept them afloat for a couple of years, like
in the dark years. And
but even then, he made some garbage then too. He made a movie with Dudley Moore called Best Defense.
Yeah,
and,
I remember that.
It is so terrible.
Yeah, there's.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, like even The Golden Child isn't really that good. I mean, like 48 Hours and Beverly Hills Cop. Those are the Eddie Murphy.
The standards,
yeah.
For sure. And Nutty Professor.
And
those were good.
The one with Dan Aykroyd.
The first one I like.
Where they switch places.
Oh, Trading Places.
Trading Places.
Yeah. Mitt Romney's least favorite movie. Yeah.
That's probably my favorite of his movies.
Yeah. I love Trading Places.
Yeah, definitely.
That movie's so fucking funny.
Even if it took me like 10 times to watch it to actually understand the end of it, what they were doing with the short selling and everything else, like I had no idea how any of that stuff worked. I laughed.
Yeah.
But now I understand it. I'm like, oh, yeah, good idea.
Yeah, when he's pretending to be the legless Vietnam vet in the park, that's funny. Fucking funny. Oh, man.
And Dan Aykroyd eating that big piece of roast beef through his beard.
Yeah. and now it shows.
Yeah.
And now it shows. I met him. He does, you know, he makes a vodka now?
Yeah.
Crystal Skull vodka. Mm-hmm. He did an event when I was in school in Orlando. I went there, and he was like, he wasn't allowing photos, and he wasn't allowing, like, only, like, a certain amount of stuff that he would sign. He wouldn't sign certain stuff. But overall, he was still a nice guy and everything. He was just, you know, he was being very, very specific about what he would and wouldn't sign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, all right, I mean, it's whatever. I could kind of understand it. I wanted it. I didn't have it at the time, but I wish I would have gotten, like, my Blues Brothers poster autographed by him.
Yeah, it'd been awesome.
Yeah, like, Blues Brothers was one of the first movies I really saw that I really, really thought was funny and awesome. I love John Belushi. I grew up watching like the old, like reruns of the old SNL cast,
mm-hmm.
and like Belushi was the one that I went to, like the guy
gravitated towards.
Yeah, I gravitated towards Belushi. I mean, he was a powerhouse.
Yeah,
and he and Blues Brothers. I saw Blues Brothers before I knew it was a sketch.
Oh, SNL. Really?
So, yeah. So like,
it was a standalone thing to you.
It was a standalone thing to me, and then my dad said something like, "Oh, you know, they did the sketch," and I was like, "Oh!" And then I went and bought. I owned their albums, like all of them. I had every Blues Brothers album in high school. I was fucking weird. I would learn. I would actually. Like, I used to do music. I would try to learn the songs just by listening to them, and I actually did a couple just by listening to them.
That's kind of cool.
It was a lot of fun. I can't pick up my saxophone right now and play it to save my life, but it was fun doing music for a while. Gave me a chance of performing in front of people. And then I kind of went into magic. I still do magic.
Magic, really?
Yeah, I'm a magician. And
do you do any magic in your comedy?
Not yet. I am working with a buddy of mine who's another comic and a magician, and we're going to kind of put together a magic comedy team to do a show. Because like what I want to do with my stand-up by itself is kind of more just be myself and make fun of myself and everything that's wrong with me. So magic, I don't know how to really incorporate magic into that, so I'd rather just do it as like a separate thing and kind of focus on both. But magic was fun because when I learned magic through jokes. Like there was I started working at a magic store, and there was a script. And so I just followed the script to learn the tricks. And there were lines that they would give you, like little jokes, like... I don't even remember, but you would just learn how to do this and make fun of people and make them look stupid, and that was what I liked about magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I started. And then I didn't start stand up until a couple years ago, actually. And I didn't really feel I had the courage to go up there without the magic to lean on.
Yeah.
At least I had the magic to lean on if my jokes fell flat. Like, oh, that's still a fucking cool trick.
Yeah.
No safety net.
How long did it take for you when you finally decided, okay, I'm going to do stand up, but like how long did it actually take you to finally do it? Cuz like I hit like 21 or 22 and I was like, if I just keep putting this off and I don't ever get up in front of people, then I'm going to be sitting around in my mid 40s being like, wow, you know, what a pussy I am that I didn't go out and try to do it. And then I eventually did it 3 years later. But like that's when I kind of decided, I was like, I have to figure out how to force myself to do this eventually. How long did it take for you to do
Way too long. So I took a class that's a terrible sound out back. I'll edit that out later.
Construction? Is that?
Yeah. So, okay, here, this is badass. Downstairs, they've taken this bar called Lush, and they are turning it into something called Spacecraft. But their goal is to make it look like the inside of the the Millennium Falcon.
What?
Yeah.
That is the. I want to go there. I want to. How
is
do
it
I invest?
Be a bar?
Yeah, it's gonna be a bar.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
So that makes me think. Every time I hear that sound going, I'm like, ah.
At least it's the Millennium Falcon.
That's right.
At least they're building the Millennium Falcon.
That's gonna be so cool.
That'd be
to go
cool
drink
as
down.
Shit. You know what'd be really cool is if you could get the hologram the game they were playing in A New Hope. That'd be the shit. Then have like people dressed as Wookiees to tear your arms out of your sockets.
You mean New Hope, the original movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the new, upcoming 3D. I don't know.
Wait, Joey, are we talking about Judge Dredd now?
No, the Star Wars ones.
Yeah, they're doing it 3D.
The Judge Dredd 3D.
It all pisses me off. Yeah. Okay, here's the deal. I get the idea that Hollywood wants to remake movies and everything. Remake the shitty ones.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of movies that misfired that weren't made correctly.
Like Taken Pelham. Like, they redid Taken Pelham because it was an okay movie.
Right.
And it's a good movie now. Like, the new version they did was really good with John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like that's what one of my professors was saying. It's like they made all these movies like back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s, and even now that like if you just tweak the storyline and put better actors in it, like they could be.
What's the Cronenberg movie they're remaking now?
Videodrome.
I don't know. Is that
Videodrome?
Yeah.
It's video. Yeah, they're redoing Videodrome.
Didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, just like something like Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck has excellent source material, but it was just made so crappily poorly.
Yeah.
Popeye, like, I'd love to see them remake Popeye because it was a terrible movie.
Right.
But I love the Popeye character.
Did you ever hear Robin Williams' quote about that movie?
No.
He said, if you watch that movie backwards, it actually has a plot.
Really? Well, I'd be willing to try because the way it was then, it was just a terrible film.
So bad.
But I love Popeye, so like, why not remake that? And, or just
or
drives
Chud.
Me crazy.
Chud. They could make Chud or
Swamp
Killer
Thing?
Clowns from Outer Space.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Well, that one is a
that,
good
that
one.
That is a good movie, but
they could remake it. Why not?
And the Planet of the Apes movies, those were terrible, so I didn't mind them remaking that.
I haven't seen the new one yet.
You haven't seen it, dude?
Is it good?
Oh, man.
I've heard it's good.
It's badass.
I've been meaning to watch it.
I don't know how it's going to be when they get to the next level where they like enslave the humans.
Right.
But the build up to the Caesar character and where he came from, it was really well done. Jake, did you see it?
No, my girlfriend told me it was really good. And I didn't... See, the thing is, I didn't realize about the rise of the Planet of the Apes. I didn't know it was supposed to be set in our world.
Yeah.
I'd never realized... I thought they were just, like, some other planet because I, you know, like, the first time I saw it, I was, like, 10, and I think I was, you know, like, bothering someone about getting me a juice box for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I just didn't remember everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like...
Well, plus, wasn't, like... Did you see the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Wahlberg one where he went to another planet?
No, I think it was still supposed to be here. Like he was an astronaut that they weren't really saying where he went.
Yeah.
It was pretty vague.
Yeah, because I was like, maybe that's where you got confused by that.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty vague.
Yeah, like that. Because Tim Burton did that, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man, that's a rare miss for Burton.
I don't know, rare miss. He's made some shit.
No, he has. Like lately.
Yeah.
Lately. But back when when that Planet of the Apes movie came out, I mean, he was still doing some pretty cool shit.
For sure, he was on top of his game then.
Yeah,
yeah, but now, like, yeah, Big Fish is amazing.
Oh, I think it's terrible. I can't stand it.
I like Big Fish.
I can't stand it.
I do. I personally like it.
Alice in Wonderland?
I didn't hate it.
Didn't like it.
Did not enjoy it.
I saw it in 3D, and it was the post-converted 3D, and it gave me a headache. And it was like Avengers, though. I saw Avengers in 3D. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't give me a headache. When Alice in Wonderland first came out, they hadn't really perfected the post-converting 3D technology yet, and it showed because it really gave me a headache.
Yeah.
Avengers, no headache at all, and same thing. It was post-converted, so. It's getting better, but no, Alice in Wonderland I didn't like. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I didn't like that at all either.
I didn't like it personally, but it was one of the first movies my nephew ever saw in theaters, and I took him to see it. So it's a little thing for me.
That's one of those movies, though, that was so perfect to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. It didn't need to be remade.
It did. I think that they could just take, you know, $15, $20 million of 10% of the budget and use an advertising campaign to re-release it into the theaters and let people enjoy that old movie today.
Yeah.
I think that in the end...
They do that
Gene
anyway.
Wilder, yeah, Gene Wilder's performance on that is, you know, it's like legendary.
I mean, Johnny Depp's good.
Yeah, okay, no, that's true, and that's
but
the thing.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah, I mean, Gene Wilder.
He's a comedian first, you know?
When I was a kid, I would steal things. I mean, you know, you're a little klepto, and you steal things, you put in your pocket, and you walk out. I haven't thought about stealing things in 15 years. Like, if I want something, I buy it.
Right.
I'm down at this candy shop in Long Beach, and I'm looking there, and they have 5 Gene Wilder signed pictures up on their wall. They love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And wow. So I'm looking at these things. I'm like, I haven't had an urge to steal anything in 15 years. I'm like, I've got to knock these people out and take these and steal them.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, did Gene Wilder died, right?
Yeah.
When did he die?
Gosh, it was a while ago now.
Was it not?
Yeah, I can't remember. 93.
Oh, was it that long?
Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Wow, I didn't think it was that long ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, he died, like 8-9 years after Gilda Radner died.
Yeah, yeah. Very sad.
That was really sad. Like, my favorite Gilda Radner SNL was when her and Steve Martin did the dancing.
Oh yeah,
the weird dancing throughout the stage. That was awesome. That was really cool.
She was so super talented.
Very talented and an inspiration to a lot of like present day comedians, I think. So Wilder 93. Okay. That's great. Like, I didn't remember reading anything about it. So I'm like, did he die? I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't read it.
The last thing he did was that movie with Richard Pryor, the Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Oh, yeah. I like that movie.
Yeah, good movie.
Every
too.
Time they did it, like Stir Crazy was awesome.
Silver Streak.
I'm a big fan of Young Frankenstein, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole the hump switching sides, that was an improv by the guy who
was
played
it really?
By the guy who played Igor.
Did not know that.
He came up with that on set. And Mel Brooks fucking loved it. He's like, yeah, let's do it. And he just do it. And
Mel Brooks loves like little gags you can just throw in there.
Oh, and they're always the same gags in every movie too. Like Walk This Way. That's in every Mel Brooks movie. And then they just copy the same way they're walking.
Now, Mel Brooks was my god.
Mel Brooks is amazing.
I have no idea what happened to him, like why he doesn't do anything
anymore.
It's the Chevy Chase syndrome.
You know, like comedians after a certain age, they just fall off.
Yeah.
Like it just happens. The new producers, it was cool because the musical aspect to it, it was a grander thing throughout. Give it credit for that. But overall, it wasn't anywhere near as good as the original producers, in my opinion.
Yeah. Not to go on that, but what was it? We watched there's a Spaceballs cartoon.
Oh, that's right.
It was produced by Mel Brooks. It was so bad.
And he voiced it too. He voiced Yogurt in it too. And they got the...
And the dad too. Didn't he do the dad? Wasn't he the dad?
He might have been. But they also got the Daphne Zuniga, or however you pronounce her name, to come back and do the princess's voice.
Oh, I'm excited. They are putting out the 25th anniversary edition of it this year. Deleted scenes, commentary, all that stuff. So
Blu-ray too?
Yeah. So that was one of the big things down at Comic-Con of... it's coming in October.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Okay, as much as I'm looking forward to that, I want to fucking kill myself when I see that they have made Christmas Story 2.
What?
Oh, yeah, with Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that. It was a made-for-TV movie.
Okay, so this is a third one. So that was there was a second one that was made that was...
I was thinking Christmas Vacation. I'm sorry. Christmas Story 2. Yeah, there is a Christmas Story 2.
So there's three of them in that same story arc. This is the first one that's called 2. The other one was called, like, My Crazy Family or something like that.
Okay.
But now instead of him wanting the BB gun for Christmas, now his parents are like, you'll kill someone! You'll kill someone! Because he wants a car for his 16th birthday instead of wanting the BB gun when he was a little kid. That movie, like, means so much to me. For them to come back this many years later and just put out a shitty sequel, I just want to chop everyone's face off.
Yeah. Like, who else is... They're doing sequels just to stupid shit anymore. Like, they're really just bringing stuff back for no reason. They're trying to do another Beverly Hills Cop for a while. I think they might still be doing it. I think Brett Ratner's attached to it.
Oh, no. Not Brett Ratner.
Yeah, I know. Kiss of death. Kiss of death. What would you say was Mel Brooks' last... really funny movie, like Mel Brooks funny level.
I mean, you gotta honestly, I was even disappointed with Spaceballs when I watched it. I guess I'd seen too many of the commercials going on.
Uh-huh.
History of the World is up there to me with one of the greatest movies of all time.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many joke after joke after joke, but how do you beat Blazing Saddles?
Saddles is in my opinion the funniest movie ever.
And the things he's done since then has just been shit. I couldn't stand the Men in Tights.
That, like, for me, Spaceballs was his last really funny one because I didn't like Men in Tights.
It was terrible.
Men in Tights was something I saw when I was a kid, and I was just like a huge fan of the one with Kevin Costner. So when they made a dumb version of it, I couldn't help but like it. Plus, it's got Dave Chappelle in it. So I didn't have a like a. I like it. I don't like. It's not like one of my. It's not definitely not as good as Blazing Saddles or even Spaceballs or
History of the World.
History of the World's amazing.
History of the World's really.
This is one of the biggest
Nazis in space.
Yeah, we're Jews out in space.
Yeah, it was Jews in space.
So good.
Jews in space. Yeah.
The whole idea that they called it part one and we never got a part two. That is a huge disappointment to me.
That was the joke, though.
But I wish it had happened.
That's why I love the movie, is because the joke of it, is that. Real quick, I know we have to start winding down here. You
have about 10 minutes.
Are you performing anywhere soon?
Friday night. I'm on the spot. Friday night I'm performing actually some little room for kind of the first time ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
In Hollywood? Or?
It is in... Okay, I promise I'll pull it up here in 2 seconds.
Oh, that's cool. Jake, you have a show tonight over in the Oaks Tavern in Sherman Oaks?
In Sherman Oaks. Is this on Moore Park, right?
I believe it is, yes.
Moore Park is one of my favorite things. Okay, so I have this terrible curse that happens inside my head. Every time I say a word or I read something, I have to say it backwards. And Moore Park backwards is crap room. And I just love crap room. Like that's a good one to me.
I never thought of that.
I do everything backwards in my head.
And Ryan Talmo's hosting that show. Is he hosting tonight?
No, he's not. The guy, I think the guy's name's Dan DeRocha.
Okay.
Or his last name's DeRocha. I know that for sure.
There's 6 or 7 other comics.
Yeah,
there's
6 comics. It starts at 11:00. It's a free show. Come out and enjoy. I'll be doing 7 minutes.
You get 7 over there.
Yeah, you get nice. 7. Nice. So it'll be cool. It'll be a good time.
I'm doing my longest set ever on Friday. I've been given 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
I'm used to doing like a 10, maybe 15.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta figure out a.
Yeah.
We're just stretch some stuff out.
Yeah, we're actually working on our first 15.
Yeah.
We're performing our show Thursday up in Thousand Oaks with Joey Diaz. We were the guy who booked it was kind enough to give us 15 minutes each.
Yeah.
So
that'll be fun. But
constructing our first 15 has been interesting. It's been an interesting process for me.
Yeah, a couple of the names that what were some of, like we heard because it's changed around a lot. Wasn't one of the You said at one time you said there was a possibility of one of the guys from Kids in the Hall possibly being there.
I don't know if it was for that show or if Bogart was trying to get him for a different show.
Sam or Timmy, because they're usually the only ones who are doing it.
Kevin McDonald and
Scott Thompson?
Scott Thompson.
Really?
I think was the other two, yeah.
That's pretty nice. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to be at, I've never heard of this place before. I'm going to be at a place called Lulu's on Friday night. It is in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, nice. There's a lot of comedy up in Thousand Oaks.
Lulu's.
That's not the place
we're at. That's not where we're at, like Fiamme or something like that. It's on Facebook. Type in Thursday's a Joke. That's the name of Jake and I's show on Thursday. You can find the event page and get directions from there.
This is called Lumpy Goose Laugh a Lot. Okay.
That sounds like an awesome name for a show.
Yeah. Okay. Since I'm probably not going to be a guest on your show, again, who knows? You never know.
Yeah, we never know.
You know. It took me 12 years to figure out how to do stand-up comedy. Like before the first time I took a class and the first time I hit the stage, it took me 12 years to get up the gumption to do it. So you did it pretty quick, man. It was a pretty fast turnaround. Two, you talked about professional wrestling. Do you still watch it now?
No, I don't. Here's what happened. I was really into professional wrestling, and then one of my friends invited me over to watch an MMA event, and it was a Pride event. And this is one of the most famous clips that you'll see in when they show MMA clips.
Yeah.
It's when Quentin Rampage Jackson power bombed the guy.
That's right.
Yeah. And that was the first event I saw, and it the whole card front to back was just unbelievable. And so at that point I was like, okay, why this guy actually powerbombed someone in a legitimate situation. Yeah. Why am I going to sit here and watch a whole bunch of guys in tights go around? But I mean, it is still kind of fun because it's just the whole thing. It, it's fun to watch. But it's just that, you know, now the people that I used to watch are doing DDP yoga. You know, they got they're all doing weird stuff. It's just I still watch wrestling from time to time, but it's just to see if I even recognize anybody or if they're even kind of doing the same thing they used to do. But yeah, CM Punk and all these other people, I don't I I've only heard the names here or there.
The thing I was going to get to on that was, it's amazing how many professional wrestlers are doing stand-up comedy now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it has been a big thing in the last
Diamond
couple
Dallas
of
years. Diamond Dallas Page also does yoga.
Yeah. Mick Foley is doing something out here in like the next week.
Foley does it. Piper's doing it. John Morrison's doing it. There's just every day I hear about more wrestlers who are doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, I mean, you get hit in the head enough times.
Yeah. Well, no, they've all just got such crazy stories that, I mean, they don't even have to tell jokes. They just have to get up there and tell, like, some outrageous stories. Outrageous
One time Andre farted in the ring. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if Hulk Hogan's going to start doing that. You know, like, after he tells a joke, he's going to run out and wave his hand and, like, oh, I got this side of the room.
That'd be awesome.
That was one
of the saddest stories of last year, though, like, when his divorce went down with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And she came out and started naming the wrestlers that he was gay with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they got bitter.
Yeah.
They got bitter really quick. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that made me realize, don't get divorced. I got married.
Don't get married.
I got married 2 years ago, so I've done that one. Thanks, man.
Why don't you do a little backtracking there?
Yeah.
Fuck marriage. Oh, you got married? Congratulations.
No, I got a great girl. She's amazing.
No, that's awesome, dude. That's great.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that, you know, you don't do steroids and you're not... your daughter isn't a pop star who is on the brink of doing a sex tape or so.
Word.
So,
yeah.
So
Your girlfriend looks exactly like your daughter, which is fucking bizarre.
Yeah. It's fucking weird. Yeah. I wonder if anybody heckles a wrestler that does stand up.
Oh, I don't think. See, the thing is even like Mick Foley, who is not the scariest looking wrestler whoever.
Have you seen him live?
No.
Okay, I'm a fairly large dude. That dude towers over me.
Yeah, he's like 6'4". He's like
massive.
2'6". Yeah, he's a big dude.
The biggest hands I've ever shook in my hands. It used to be Merlin Olsen, who was this linebacker or this lineman for the Rams. He shook my hand and it was just dwarfed him. Mick Foley is just a beast.
Yeah,
he's massive.
They're all.
Yeah, I've never seen him.
My favorite Mick Foley moment, and I watched him back when he was doing ECW still.
Kane Dewey, yeah.
Yeah, and but definitely the best thing that Mick Foley ever did was get tossed off of the Hell in a Cell cage by Undertaker. That was probably one of the cool. Me and my friends were watching that too. It was like that at that point. Like I was hooked on wrestling, and that was like one of those moments where you're like it's like complete validation. You're like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen, and it was just that was a cool. That was my favorite Mick Foley moment.
My favorite Mick Foley moment. Then I'll let you get to your wrap up because it looks like you're anxious to get into it. I was at the 1999 Royal Rumble down at Anaheim, and Foley and The Rock were fighting. They came into the crowd, and they're about 10 feet away from me. And he's just The Rock's just cracking this chair over his skull over and over again. It was just the sickest thing. You know, you watch that one time, like, oh, okay, that was amazing. Then they did this this documentary called Beyond the Mat, and the whole thing was about that night. So getting to watch like the families crying and reacting to it, like he's a terrible person for bringing his children to that.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was awesome. Wait,
yeah. So what is one more, like, what is the best wrestling match you've seen in person?
Okay, PWG out here in Los Angeles is the best wrestling company in the world. That's where CM Punk came from, and Bryan Danielson and all the guys who were on top. Now they wrestle out in Reseda once a month. It's actually coming up this weekend, September 1st and 2nd, the Battle of Los Angeles. If you have a chance to go see it in LA, you gotta see it. You've never seen anything better than this. There's only 3 rows of seats. You will be out of your seat all night long because the action comes your way, and it just, by the end of the night, most of the chairs are destroyed, and it's amazing.
Nice.
The best one that I ever saw, the first tables, ladders, and chairs match between Christian and was it Edge? Christian and Edge.
Christian Edge, the Dudleys, and the Hardys.
And the Hardys was in Cleveland, and we were there for that night. That was cool. The coolest match I've ever seen in person.
Yeah,
that's in a mildly legendary match.
For sure, that was a groundbreaking match at the time.
So, nice. Well, hey, Jake, thank you so much for letting us do this and for coming on and being our guest today. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
You guys as well.
We'll be back next Monday at 1 p.m. with another new episode of Cat Show.
It was a blast, guys. Looking forward to lots of great shows from you.
Yeah, we are too.
Yep.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.